The Holy Gospel according to John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. It has been quite the controversy. On and on it has gone, splitting the church, keeping baptized children of God around the world from worshiping together, from feasting at Christ's table together. Wondering what this controversy is about? Well, it's not about LGBTQIA issues, though those, of course, have been divisive. It's not about gun control or infant versus believer baptism or immigration or just war theory or whether women should be pastors, though we've argued about those topics for ages as well. No, this controversy is about the filioque clause. You know, the filioque clause. I don't know. From the expressions on your faces, I'd have to conclude that the filioque clause is not currently on the list of things you are thinking about. Filioque is Latin for and the son. S-O-N, as in male child, not S-U-N, the yellow object not shining on us this morning. You see, exactly 1700 years ago this year, in the year 325, a gathering of church leaders was convened in the city of Nicaea to work through some important questions about the then only a few hundred years old Christian faith. If you picked up on the location, Nicaea, you might have figured out that the work of this gathering and of another gathering a few decades later resulted in what we now refer to as the Nicene Creed, which is technically the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed. In its third section, the Holy Spirit section, this creed originally stated that the Holy Spirit proceeded from the Father. End of thought. But at some point in the centuries that followed, in response to one of the many heresies that continued to arise, church leaders in Rome decided to tack on filioque. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. That version stuck in many quarters, was the version inherited and used by the Lutheran reformers 1,000 years later, and it's the version we ELCA Lutherans and many other Protestants continue to use today. Only one problem. The church in the East has always protested the addition of the filioque. It was one among several reasons for the great schism 1,000 years ago, when Christianity split into two branches led from Rome and from Constantinople. It's sad, isn't it? Just a few weeks ago, our gospel reading included Jesus' prayer to his Father that his followers, you know, us, would be one, that we would have unity in him. But since almost the very beginning of Christ's holy church, we baptized and beloved children of God have argued and disagreed, broken away from and excommunicated one another, even have imprisoned, tortured, and killed sisters and brothers in Christ over theological and ecclesiastical differences. Part of the problem, you know, besides our inherent human sinfulness and instinct to pick fights and want to win them, is that there is a lot the Bible, the Word of God, doesn't explain or reveal about God, such as that marvelous divine mystery we are celebrating today, the Holy Trinity. Anybody recall where the word Trinity is found in the Bible? I'll give you $1 million if you can come up with a citation, even just the name of the book. Anyone? It's nowhere. The word Trinity appears nowhere in the Bible, even though it is one of the primary words we use to describe who and what God is and how God reveals God's self to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the Bible offers us is references to one or more of the three persons of the Trinity. For instance, the Hebrew scriptures speak of God, the Creator, and the wind or spirit which swept over the waters in the beginning when the earth was a formless void. Today's reading from Proverbs described this spirit as the wisdom of God, brought forth before there were mountains and springs, before there were skies above and the first bits of soil. She is the delight of the Lord and the Lord's companion as the heavens are established and the foundations of the earth are marked out. And then, of course, in the New Testament, we do hear Jesus speak often of his Father in heaven and how his Father will be sending the Spirit of truth to teach, comfort, and sustain Jesus' disciples. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus when he is baptized, while a voice from heaven speaks, "You are my Son, the Beloved." Jesus goes on to refer to himself as the Son, calls the local synagogue his Father's house, and teaches us to pray to Abba, Father. These three persons of God are put together only a few times in the Bible. The most well-known occurs at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, when we are told to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But biblical scholars think this verse is a reflection of the early church working out its mission rather than anything Jesus actually said. Whatever you think about that theory, it is the case that the inner workings of God are not explained anywhere. So we come up with clever statements like that made in our prayer of the day today. God is eternal, three in one, and majestic, one in three. Terrific. Cleared that right up. So we keep trying. We explore metaphors. The Trinity is like an apple, the seeds, the flesh, the peel. The Trinity is like water. It can be ice, liquid, or steam. The Trinity is like a shamrock or a triangle or three interlocking circles. But our human language is inadequate. Our ability to understand, to explain God, limited. I think I've mentioned before the congregation that always has its annual hot dog picnic on Trinity Sunday. They do this, says the pastor, because both the Trinity and the contents of hot dogs are an unknowable mystery. But there is something we do know about the Trinity. It is relationship. Our God is relationship, a divine community of love, Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And our God yearns to be in relationship with us as loving creator, loving redeemer, loving sanctifier, the one who made us and everything that is, the one who came to us as a little baby and was crucified and raised from the dead so we would have hope, the one who breathes into us, filling us with holy wind and flame, inspiring our faith and discipleship and service. Our divine community of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit also calls us to loving relationship with each other. And that is why I am happy to tell you, if you haven't heard already, that we Lutherans from across the globe and our siblings in Christ from across the great East-West Schism have been talking to each other. In anticipation of the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea this year, the Lutheran World Federation and the Orthodox Church have issued a common statement on the Filioque. After a millennium of disagreement, we have acknowledged with respect each other's theological and doctrinal positions. We have expressed hope together for the ongoing work of healing the age-old divisions between our communities. And we, as part of the Lutheran World Federation, have been encouraged to start using the original text of the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed, the one without the Filioque. Our Congregation Council and Worship and Music Committee will be talking about that. I know they love those theological conversations. But the good news is that whenever we are wrestling with the mystery of God, we are never alone. For God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is with us, with you and with me, always. Amen.